"My lord, I regret the bad blood you've mentioned," Thirsk said levelly. "I agree that it exists, however, and I'm very much afraid things have been made still worse by the decisions I've been forced to make, or rather by the Duke's resistance to and resentment of those decisions."
"The truth, Earl Thirsk," Mike said, walking across the cabin to seat himself in one of the armchairs facing Thirsk's desk, "is that Thorast hates you. It's true he resents your decisions, but his resistance to them stems far more from the fact that they're your decisions than anything having the least bit to do with their actual merit. Which, considering that you're the one who made them, I very much doubt he's bothered to consider at all."
Despite himself, Thirsk's eyes widened slightly at the bishop's bluntness, and Mike chuckled again, this time with genuine humor. Sour humor, perhaps, but genuine.
"Of course I'm aware of the situation," he said. "I'd be a poor choice for the Navy's intendant if I weren't. Unfortunately, I don't see an easy solution to the problem."
He paused and waved at the armchair beside his own and at Thirsk's desk chair.
"Please, gentlemen, be seated."
Both admirals obeyed, although Thirsk found himself concealing a slight smile at how effortlessly Mike had assumed at least temporary ownership of his day cabin. The bishop glanced across at Von Wick, but he'd apparently already assessed the secretary's discretion, and he turned his attention back to the Earl.
"The fact of the matter is," he said, "that I don't believe anything you could possibly do would compensate, in Thorast's view, for the fact that you were entirely right before Armageddon Reef and his brother-in-law was entirely wrong. He's never going to forgive you for the incredible insult of having proved Duke Malachi was a complete, feckless incompetent."
Thirsk felt himself settling back into his chair, and the bishop showed a flash of teeth in a tight, fleeting smile.
"There are limits to the amount of open resistance Thorast is prepared to demonstrate," he continued in an almost clinical tone. "At the moment, King Ronald has made it clear to him that attacking you too openly would be inadvisable. I've also made that point to him in my own rather more subtle fashion, and so has Bishop Executor Arrain. So, at the moment, he's going to restrict himself to the sort of innuendo it's almost impossible for even the Inquisition to positively trace back to its source. And he's going to obey any order you give, although, as I'm sure you're aware, he isn't missing the opportunity to append his own carefully reasoned reservations to many of those orders in his reports to me."
Mike grimaced.
"That, unfortunately, is his right and privilege."
"My lord," Thirsk said, "I won't pretend I'm not aware of everything you've just said. I have to admit, however, that I never expected you to approach those points quite so forthrightly."
"The truth is, Admiral," Mike said somberly, "that Thorast's alliances are ultimately far stronger and reach far higher than yours do. And he's been playing this sort of game all his life. All you have on your side are virtue, intelligence, courage, skill, experience, and integrity, which, alas, are of far more value on the field of battle than in the dagger-prone atmosphere of council chambers and salons. Ultimately, unless something changes radically, he will succeed in destroying you. And the fact that you've committed the unforgivable sin of being right, when all of his cronies were just as wrong as he was, will only make it easier for him when the present emergency passes."
Thirsk simply looked at him across the desk, and the bishop studied the admiral's expression. Then he nodded slowly.
"I see I truly haven't said anything that surprises you, my lord. That only strengthens my already high regard for you. And I give you my word that so long as I remain the Navy Intendant, I will bear Duke Thorast's attitude and the reasons for it fully in mind. At the moment, you have my full support, and frankly,
I foresee no circumstances which would be likely to change that. As I'm sure you also know, however, and as I'm not supposed to admit, Mother Church is far from free from the pernicious effects of politics and cliques. Duke Thorast has long-standing relationships with several powerful members of the clergy. It's entirely possible. No, let's be honest. It's virtually certain that he's prepared to use those relationships to undermine me as well as you, once he becomes aware of how unlikely I am to support him in any clash between the two of you. I mention this because the only means I see of keeping you where you are, doing what so badly needs to be done, is for the two of us to produce success while everyone is still worried enough to give us, or rather you, your head. Not just minor successes either. Not just getting the fleet built and manned. That's obviously the first essential. But to truly blunt the Duke's attacks, it's essential that we demonstrate we can produce victories. You were right before Rock Point and Crag Hook, but we lost both of those battles anyway. Now you must prove not only that you're right once again, but that listening to you leads to victory. It was very quiet in the day cabin for several seconds. Then Thirsk exhaled sharply and cocked his head at Mike. "I can't promise victory, my lord," he said quietly. "First, because no man can ever promise victory, but secondly, because no matter how well we build and how hard we train, we'll still confront the Carizian Navy. Call it the Imperial Navy or the Royal Navy, it's still the same fleet, with the same admirals, the same captains and the same crews. They aren't supermen. They can be defeated. But at this moment in time, they are the best trained, most experienced battle fleet on the seas of Safehold. Quite possibly the best trained and most experienced battle fleet ever to sail the seas of Safehold, in fact. I'm not arguing against facing them at sea, and I'm willing to do so. Yet the truth is that we're likely to suffer more reverses before we achieve many victories. We're in the process of learning our trade, and altogether too many of our officers and our seamen are terrified, whether they're willing to admit it or not, of the Carizian's reputation. And they're right to be concerned, because that reputation was fully earned even before Rock Point, Crag Reach, and Darko Sound. We'll have to demonstrate to our own people that they can beat Carizians before they will be able to beat them in pitched battle.